We turn again to the New Testament scriptures. These Sabbath evenings we've been considering the one another passages, quite a few of these that our Lord and through His disciples says to us about our relationship to one another. We're in Romans chapter 16 this evening. Romans chapter 16. I'll commence with verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks. Love that text, don't you? Who have for my life laid down their own necks, under whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaminondas, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles. And notice just some humility on the apostles' part, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa. Now, if you have twin girls, there you go. Tryphena and Tryphosa. Nobody will take that one. How about Philologus, a little bit later? Lover of the Word. That's a great name. Nobody ever seems to name their children after these. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon or Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus. Don't you love that name? Lover of the Word. And Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. If I don't say this, and I forget to say this later, this is an immense revelation of his love. A lot of these are just common people like you and I. And he remembers all of them. Maybe one of them just tied his sandal laces. Maybe one of them just shook his hand and said, "Thank you for preaching the word." He took time to remember their names and to mention them. Gigantic apostle like the Apostle Paul, remembering you and me. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. And may the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Tonight, greet one another. Salute one another. The Authorized Version translators kind of alter the translation of one word either salute or greet. Greet one another is our thought tonight. We continue in the reciprocal mutual relationships. We can all say together, after I've quoted this so many times, how would you describe, how would you define a reciprocal relationship? The kind of relationship that is necessarily tied to the lives of others. How else can you describe it? Why reinvent the wheel? The kind of relationship necessarily tied to the lives of others. To be able to fulfill all these to one another takes time, takes commitment, takes effort, takes thought. That's a description of a people in a church covenant. Not in a loose relationship. This is the description of a very close relationship. These are commands that require frequent fellowship, unselfish love, conscious effort, humble reception. And by the way, it takes grace to receive as well as to give love, doesn't it? At first glance, it's easy to just pass over this. This is just a cultural thing. This is our say hello to. But four times we read as a command. Three times, Romans 16:16, 1 Corinthians 16:20, and 2 Corinthians 13:12, salute or greet one another with a holy kiss, or with a kiss of holiness. What does that mean? Hopefully we'll see. That isn't, even in their day, and especially in our day, isn't saying just kiss everybody. With a holy kiss. And 1 Peter 5:14 says, Peter uses a little different expression than the Apostle Paul. He says, greet one another with a kiss of love, a sincere kiss, as well as a holy kiss. Yes, it's our hello, say hello to. It's our equivalent to a handshake, but I believe it's more than that. But it's interesting how he commands the people to do this. This is the Lord saying, do this. Why would he tell us to do something so basic, so seemingly unnecessary to put in a form of a command? It's one word. Oh, this is truly something that you could speak 1,000 words to, although you might say, no, after he speaks 1,000 words, it's something that you could have used just 500 words for. But you know, there are a lot of words in the New Testament, just one word that just you could say so much about. There was a game show, or maybe it's still a game show, and it's a game that people have played. You just take one word and you got to speak 2 minutes on that one word without repeating yourself. I think that would be a good game, wouldn't it? I just listened to a message by Sinclair Ferguson on the word amen. Preached 30 minutes. Amen. And it was amazing. I thought he could have kept going for another 30 minutes. What do we mean by amen? I like what he said. He said, you know, so often we don't mean what the Bible means by it. We mean, I'm glad you agree with me, to the preacher when we say amen. Very often it can be a selfish thing. And now I'm probably discourage anybody from ever saying amen for the next 5 years. But you know what I mean. It's nice to have some life in the service once in a while, but we have to be careful. Mr. Ferguson told about a service where Martin Lloyd-Jones was preaching, and you've probably heard of him. He could have been the physician to the queen. And like Spurgeon, he said, don't stoop to be a king if you're called to preach. And he didn't want to stoop to be the queen's physician as he was called to preach. But people were writing notes, and now I'm going to discourage notes from this illustration. But please, I'm not trying to discourage notes or echoes in a message. But he said people were taking notes, and he just kind of looked up and he said, you know, I appreciate that people take notes, but don't you think maybe you're missing the spirit of the message and you're focusing on the law of it? You're trying to get down every word and every thought, but I want you to be blessed by the word in your heart. But maybe you can be blessed by writing notes and listening at the same time. But as he said that, somebody in front of where Mr. Ferguson's relative was said, "Amen!" And with 2,000 people in the service, he said that Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones looked through his half-moon glasses and said, "I think that was a self-righteous amen, don't you?" And he said, he wonders if the man came back for the Sunday evening service. But we just need to be real, don't we? There's nothing wrong with being spirited and excited about the truth, but let us be real, let us be unhypocritical. But one word can truly speak 1,000 words on. This word is normally translated salute. It is sometimes translated greet. It is once translated they embraced. And it's once translated they took leave of people. So again, you wonder a whole message on one word. I think we can think a few moments on this one thought. We can certainly speak a whole message on many words in the Bible, like Christian, like Christ, like heaven, like hell, love, gospel, and so on. Now you say, this is just culture. The culture part is how one should greet, not that one should greet. I believe we can apply this. Maybe it's different how we greet each other, and it's true in many cultures it is different. You know, the Japanese will tilt their head many times. Somebody else might just, you know, it's like somebody said who was working, I think it was Don Carson was working with a lot of international people, and he said he just sat in the room one day and watched all these different cultures meet each other. And he said the Japanese person, you know, tilted his head many times, and the Italian person hugged and kissed the men on the cheek, and somebody else stood quite a distance. You know, you can almost think that they're being rude. And he said the American says, "How you doing, everybody?" You know, we love to just be known and to just be flamboyant. Maybe that's something not so good in our Western culture. But the culture part is how one should greet. Not that one should greet. In their culture, they greeted people with a holy kiss. I'm from half Macedonian. I know exactly what they mean. But it wasn't just a holy kiss. It wasn't just men with men. I was used to my two aunts kissing me. But I wanted to be on the other side of the house. I wanted to run when they came in the house. Because I knew that their lipstick would be, you know, a big circle would be on my cheek after they got done with me. But my uncle Gene, I was a little bit uncomfortable. Not that there was anything funny about it, but you normally didn't shave for a couple days. And when he kissed, it was like, you know, rough sandpaper when it got on your cheek. But I understand that they meant it sincerely. It was a holy kiss. It was appropriate. But that's what he means. To greet one another with a holy kiss. Make it appropriate. But I believe in that culture it was men with men and women with women. And Peter says with a kiss of love, make sure it's sincere. Don't be Judas-like. Hail, Master. Betrayest me, Judas, with a kiss. By the way, Judas, the Bible tells us in one of the Gospels, ardently kissed the Lord. That was a signal to the mob and it was compounding his hypocrisy. In other words, he probably kissed the Lord several times in the cheek and gave him, you know, or perhaps a longer hug, as if, you know, it's so good to see you and I believe in you. And yet it was just full of hypocrisy, compounded hypocrisy. We should greet each other as we meet. I wonder, do we ever pay attention? Are there people that never get our greetings? This is a word to our hearts tonight. In the first place, it's an exhortation to friendliness. God's people should be friendly. Yes, it's equivalent to say hello to. It's equivalent to shaking hands with. But it's certainly more. But this is part of our exhibition of love, friendship. It's a form of Philadelphia, brotherly love. It says, greet one another. In other words, throughout the gathering. One another. Don't be selective. In the world, you find selective friendships. Downright unfriendliness often. And I know people are different, but you know what it's like at the workplace where there's a lot of lost people. They just gravitate to a certain group. You can feel the unfriendliness going into a workroom, and you know, they're just minding their own business, and you just want to say hello after a weekend, and you just realize, I'm not in heaven. You can almost feel the tenseness when you're not welcome. The church should be, of all places, an atmosphere of love. We're used to being in atmospheres of hatred and lust and wickedness. When people come in this building, they should sense the love of Christ. There should be an atmosphere of love. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Surely all of us should know we're all Christ's disciples. Paul said in Titus 3:15, greet those who love us in the faith. Especially greet those that love us in the faith. Again, cultures are different. But the expression of love is across board of all cultures in the Christian church. The expression of friendliness and happiness at seeing one another. Are you happy to see your brother and sister tonight? Are you happy that your brother and sister's alive tonight on this side of glory? Yes, we should salute those that are outside the circles of brothers. But we should especially show love to the household of faith. Are we frankly friendly? Genesis 15, even Abraham would say in his reasoning with Lot, was, we're brothers. Why should we be arguing? Let's do something about this. If we need more room, let's spread out. But let's love each other. Let's not have argumentation. And someone wondered, wasn't the Lord telling his disciples not to be friendly when he said, salute no man by the way? I think it tells you something more than just that they were shaking hands in our sense of the word. In the Far East, or in the Near East, however you want to explain it, their salutations were more elaborate, more timely. And we're so used to, how you doing today? Good. How you doing? Good. We go off. There isn't so much, too much sincerity in it and too much love and concern. It's an exhortation to friendliness, but it's also an extension of fellowship. It is your way of saying, I would like to fellowship with you. You're not just there to shake his hand and you'll slip it away and go on to some other person. But there's more than just, how are you doing today? It's the beginning of a time of communion. That's why the Lord said, don't salute. If you salute everybody in the way, you're going to be distracted from your purpose. You're going to delay doing my will. So that's why he said, salute no man by the way. Greet no one on the road, literally. He wasn't advocating unfriendliness to people, but avoiding delays and distractions. What delays and distractions do we have to worry about when we come together as the people of God? When we meet together in each other's homes? This greeting is with the idea of reacquaintance, of relationship. It shows personal attention. 3 John 14 and 15 say, greet the friends by name. John was saying, look, take time. How you doing, John? How you doing, Sally? It's good to see you. I've been praying for you. How did Paul know all these people's names? You know, we have to admit to ourselves, the way we remember people's names is because we pray for them. Not because, well, some people are geniuses. You've heard about these people that will stand at the door and greet hundreds of people who come in to listen to their lecture, and while they're lecturing, they'll say, raise your hand for any questions. Yes, John, yes. Sally, yes, Bob, and they know everybody's name. They're geniuses. But there's a way in which they connect people's eyes and ears and color of their hair with their names, but still, it's genius. I don't think Paul was a genius in this way. I think he simply met these people and he looked them in the eye and talked to them long enough to get to know them and regularly if he was there, and he prayed for these people. And I think sometimes when we forget names, it's not so much that we're forgetful. It's just we're so busy with our own lives, we just don't remember them in prayer. I think if we would put people down on our prayer lists, in our notebooks, we'd remember them a lot more than we do. Take time to greet. Take time to get to know. And I wonder, even in this room, if there are those that hardly know one another because we just don't take the time. Greeting here is with the idea of knowing, not some slight, brief, impersonal thing. It's a very personal thing that's being commanded. Thirdly, it's a challenge, and you might say a rebuke to prejudice, a challenge to our prejudice. It speaks of thorough love. It doesn't say, greet only those that are like you are. Greet only those of your own age. It says, greet all the brethren in other passages as well. But greet one another includes everybody. But there's also, like Philippians 4:21, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. He was saying, don't leave anybody out. None should be omitted from the congregational fellowship. 1 Thessalonians 5:26, greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. Go outside your box. If you greet only those who are your brothers, Matthew 5, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles, the heathen, do these things? They only greet those that are like they are. They only, scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Christian is different. Christ died for the one in the lowest gutter and the one who was the richest, most affluent. Lord Jesus reached into everybody's heart. Let's go outside our box. Are we greeting the little children? Are the little children greeting us? Do you greet the one that annoys you? Do you greet the preacher? You know, it's so simple, but so practical. We need an enlarged heart. We need to be like our Savior. Aren't you glad He isn't selective in His love in the sense that He loves all kinds of sinners? And you know, in heaven He's not going to omit you. He's not going to bypass you with His greeting. He stood up for Stephen. Isn't that amazing? Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints. And may I say, it's an expression of honor. It's used of greetings in the marketplaces. That's the noun form that the Pharisees loved their salutations. Another synonym, but the same translation of the same noun. Greetings in the market, salutations in the marketplaces. You can see there are elaborate, extensive, things. And obviously they were showy. But the point, why did they want these salutations and greetings? They were a show of honor. I'm honoring this rabbi that obviously was hypocritical, but the point was it was honoring. Dignitaries wait for their persons to be acknowledged, in other words. Dignitaries wait for themselves to be acknowledged in royal ways. What it's doing is giving worth to the individual. He cares for me. Have you ever said, that guy reached his hand out and shook my hand? He cared for me. Do you remember one of the bus drivers that just retired? He used to be a Secret Service agent. And he was in the White House in President Reagan's day. And he said, what impressed him? I said, tell me some things about President Reagan. And he said, you know, the thing that stands out the most is it was a pouring, rainy night, cold and pouring. I was inside. I happened to have the inside detail. And so I had it well. But he said the people that were, the agents that were outside were getting soaked and it was cold. And they were waiting for the president to arrive. And he entered in and somebody took his coat off and so on and his hat and whatever else. And he said as he was walking in, he turned to one of his bodyguards or someone and says, relieve that guy that's outside the door. He's cold and he's wet. I mean, it's just amazing humility, just amazing care. You mean the president said, relieve me? Just me? Just I'm nobody. The Bible says, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. It's like submitting yourself one to another by being willing to shake everybody's hand. It says, you know, he cares for me. I'm praying for you. How you doing in the Lord? It's an expression of brotherly honor. Greeting. And you know, we can encourage each other to come early enough to warm up, to fellowship with one another. And so often I know our days are loaded and we arrive just in time. Hardly enough time to say hello and to get to know each other. We leave so quickly. Come early enough to warm up to fellowship or stay late enough or both, but stay late enough to discuss the relevance of the message in our lives and what we're doing this week and how can we pray for each other. Do weeks pass before we acknowledge a certain one in the congregation who wonders if anybody cares for them? May I say, Jesus cares. He loves when you draw near to Him, and He's there to draw near to you, to give you the kiss of love, the holy kiss. See, folks, the Lord wants us to have personal warmth and not just impersonal professionalism. There's a way of shaking a hand and saying hello that's just impersonal duty. But there's a way, as is exhorted here, personal warmth, love, and kindness, Christ-likeness. We're going to be in heaven with each other. May we practice here the kind of love we know is there in glory. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a kiss of love. May the world see that the Lord loves us. We love Him. May they be drawn by the love of Christ. Greet that poor soul outside these walls this week. Greet that poor soul walking down the road, or that person at work that nobody cares for, the person with oily hair, or the person with pimples all over his face, or the person that always seems to get failing grades on his test, or the person that just seems to have accident after accident. Time for us to come out of our box, not only in the church, but outside the church. Let's go into the world and love souls as the Savior did and tell them about the gospel of the Savior who came from heaven's glory to earth's gory scene to save our wretched souls. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for including these jolts to our wills and to our hearts. Lord, Your Word is so vast. You cover everything. You're an all-wise God. We thank Thee, Lord, You're a loving God, and as we draw near to Thee, Thou hast promised to draw near to us. Help us to practice this in our homes, in our congregations, in the world. We know, Lord, that we need to be careful and safe. In some places, people take advantage of greetings. But Lord, we pray that as we protect ourselves from unsafe conditions, yet may we never hold back the true love of Christ. For You said love never fails. We pray for a benediction, Lord, from Thee as we Return to our homes, grant us traveling mercies, but help us to stay true to Thee. Grow our souls, Lord. May You help us to practice what we have heard today. Change us into our Savior's image. Lord Jesus, we are so unlike Thee. We want to be more like Thee. Forgive our sins. Forgive our unkindnesses, our selective love in the wrong sense. We pray that You would enlarge and fill our hearts with the love of God. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.